2. And we are live with a new year and a new edition of the Mahoning Movement Show here in Youngstown Studio.
I love your voice. It's so like radio worthy.
Try to
so
be great. Radio-ish. Yeah. But you do it for real.
NPR-ish. Oh, that's not what it is. Yeah.
I love NPR. Shout out to WYSU. Love that station. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
So we closed out the rest of the year. It was a good semester at YSU. Well, besides all the other stuff we talked about, but in terms of actual learning, it was a good semester.
You got some learning in your
brain. Got some learning in. Got one semester to go. And I brought through for you the three projects I worked on this past semester. So the one in the top right is the Mahoning Movement one, which main thing we talk about here on the show. The top left is the Mackey map, 1899 to 2021, soon to be 2022. That's about down by the Covelli Center. And then the bottom left one is early architecture of the Western Reserve. And that was a pretty intensive project because also I was like the videographer for it as well. So it's pretty cool. The entire class essentially is online there. And you could watch each of the videos that's broken down both week by week, but also structure by structure. So using the power of ArcGIS smart mapping, you can actually zoom in, play around the map and click on exact structures and watch the video for them. So I thought today's show, we could talk a little bit about it and just kind of use this as a guide if anybody wants to check out home, kind of walk you through a little bit what you're looking at on there. Cool. Well, let's get started. So if you go to, you can see that up on there.
Let me bring that up. Okay, go ahead.
So yeah, so if you go to mahoningmovement.com, that's the main project. And once again, to recap for our new listeners, the Mahoning Movement essentially is we're tracing the history of transportation networks in the region, most especially the Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal, which ran from 1840 to 1877. But also we're advocating for active transportation trails, hike and bike trails, most especially to connect Struthers, where the Stavage Trail ends, which goes between Newcastle and Struthers, to connect that to Ravenna, where the Portage County Hike and Bike Trail begins and takes you all the way to Akron, where it turns into the Summit County Freedom Trail. If you take that entire span, that follows the line of the Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal. So the project mainly focuses on that canal line and also how we can resurrect it. So yeah, let's start there. So MahoningMovement.com. Here is the story map. We'll play audio for our listeners too.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll give it a go. Try. Well, everyone can do this from home too, but it could be slightly entertaining. So here, pull it up, and here is our story map, and we'll start here. Let's see if this plays for everybody. It might not work for the audio because there would be a little fiddle music right now. But if you watch this from home, this is a little video introduction I do where I went out to Ravenna. So once again, that's the whole project. But for this class, for my advanced GIS class at YSU, I focused...
Here is the story.
Oh, hang on.
I'm just checking to see if there's any audio in the back.
Oh, cool. So it is playing?
I don't know. I'll let you know. It's not, no.
Oh, that's right.
You got it.
All right. Well, everyone can watch that from home. But so specifically for the purposes of my advanced GIS class, that involved a little more science than I'm used to, but it was a lot of fun. I did elevation and hydrology analysis, and I was mainly focused on where is that exact spot between the Mahoning River watershed and the Cuyahoga watershed, which that was the main thing that the canal connected, those two watersheds. Because once you're in the Cuyahoga watershed, that takes you all the way to Lake Erie. When you're going down the Mahoning, that takes you to near Newcastle, where it meets up with Shenango to become the Beaver River, which takes you all the way down to Monaca, Pennsylvania, where it meets the Ohio. And then obviously the Ohio goes all the way to Mississippi and takes you down the Gulf of Mexico. And the Great Lakes, that takes you to the St. Lawrence Seaway and takes you out to the Gulf of St. Lawrence up in Canada. So it united the Pennsylvania-Ohio Canal, not only united those two watersheds, But when the Pennsylvania Canal went through and connected Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, that added a third watershed to go directly to the Atlantic that way. So the Pennsylvania-Ohio Canal, 1840-1877, that united those watersheds, but specifically the Mahoning and the Cuyahoga watersheds. So I wanted to do, using both historic map, geo-referencing historic maps, which means lining up these old maps that weren't made into smart maps, lining up their points to where they actually, you know, in current satellite imagery and whatnot, to be able to line up where everything's at. So I did a lot of work doing that. And then I also wanted to explore the actual area where those two watersheds met. So here I am out in Ravenna talking about that. And it's interesting, it's Prospect Avenue. So the corner of Prospect and Summit is where I start off. And it's like no coincidence that that's the name, because that's the high elevation point between the two watersheds. So explore that a bit. And so, yeah, there's that video. That's just the first part of this story map. And so you can click through and see the different points of interest on there, including I talk a bit about, you know, how this area for thousands of years, people have been traversing it. We know to Native American cultures that came through here that the Salt Licks in Mahoning, that's where it gets its name, at the Salt Lick, that was an important area because obviously salt was a big thing for refrigeration. But also in, there's Towner Mound too. There was a Hopewell Mound between Ravenna and Kent in Towner's Woods, it's called. So we know that's, you know, a couple thousand years old. And this area is right between it that we're examining here. So if anybody wants to at home click along and go through my story map of those different points. And then below that, we examine the smart map as well. And so there's all my different layers jumbled together. But if we scroll through, tell the story of, you know, from Native American trails to the canal to the railroad age. And then once again, advocating that we resurrect this area as an active transportation trail. So it's a lot of fun. So that's the smart map, or that's the story map. But the paper I wrote on it, where I talk about exactly what I did in the process of creating that, that's on there. I actually did a little more editing on it, so I got to update that, but it's, I guess, good enough. And then here is the actual map itself. So what's interesting about working with ArcGIS, you have ArcGIS Pro is like the desktop, and there you can do everything in that. And then what you do is you export it out to ArcGIS Online, and that's where anyone can consume it. So it was a little bit of a learning curve adapting how it goes from Pro to Online. I got the hang of it there by the end. So if we open a map viewer, there's our satellite imagery. So the story map on the other website, that's a little easier to click through. This it's a little more cumbersome to navigate, but it has all the content. So you can see I have that the entire map of the P&O Canal. I have a geo-referenced, which was kind of difficult to do because some things were off, and the map scan I had was crinkled. So it's so I had to use what they call as control points to both align it, but also kind of warp the map so it aligns with the actual spots. And then I have the different trails on there, including the proposed Mahoning River Greenway, which would connect those two trails like we talked about. And so I show how that would align with the historic canal route. Where we're zoomed at right here, this is all flooded now to make Kerwin Reservoir. You can see Kerwin underneath there. But originally, before it was flooded in 1966, that's exactly where the canal went through. And then this is where I got into a little more of the hydrology of the different water basins. So this shows that's where I shot that video, right on the divide between the Cuyahoga watershed and the Mahoning watershed. I have the different sites along there, different basins. But you can play along. If you click there, it shows all the different layers. So you can hide. So right now I just have the Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal map showing, but what we can do hide that. There it is there. We're going to click the little eyeball to hide that one. But let's pull up here the 1764 Hutchins map. Let's see if that really works. Hey, it does. So this is a real interesting map, 1764. Once again, it's warped because I geolocated to it lined up with the actual points. In those days, one, obviously, the technology for surveying isn't what it is now. 1764, you know, is pretty rudimentary, you know, it's pretty basic. Whereas today we have satellite imagery and LIDAR and whatnot. But what the basis of this map was when Colonel Bouquet went to go put down what they called an Indian rebellion, if they would even use a polite word like that the way they were. But anyways, there was a, I'm sure you've heard of Pontiac, you know, not just driving excitement, but Pontiac was a Native American leader who, people got to remember that Indians weren't, the Native Americans weren't a monolithic group of one group of Native Americans. They were entirely different cultures. So actually coming together to have a Pan-African movement to fight against colonialism, colonization, it was a big deal. And so Pontiac was a leader in forming together various Native American tribes to kind of fight back against colonization. And just, and there was some real brutal stuff where European American settlers, I'm probably gonna mispronounce, it's a very German sounding town, Gutenberg something. It's a town in Ohio where it was a pretty brutal massacre of they slaughtered an entire Native American village down there. So Native Americans fought back, led by Pontiac. Leaving out of Pittsburgh, Colonel Bouquet sent a force to quell the Indian rebellion. So this was a map based upon that that trip west into what was then the frontier, but is now, you know, where we call home. This is the map that was based upon that expedition. And that was also one of the first European American maps that also showed the salt licks too, showed the actual Mahoning, where the tributary flows into the Mahoning that was salinated, that had salt content, which was really the first industry of our area, both going back to Native Americans and for the early European settlers. Salt was a big deal back then. And so before they were making iron or steel or any of that, they were trying to make salt there, but it was a pretty low salt content to be able to actually make into an industry. But yeah, there's a few other maps on there, and so people could check it out and feel free to contact me if you have any questions about going through it. But yeah, I'm going to continue to evolve that this next semester, and hopefully by May have an actual nice exhibit and project for everybody. So that's the first one. That's the top right on that little map there. If we go then to the top left one, that's the Mackey map. And this was a class project I did with, I was actually the only graduate student in the class, but worked with a couple undergraduate students on this project. And we will be continuing it again next semester, which Brooke Bobovnik, who I had in the show before as well, she'll be joining me in that class. And shout out to her once again, because she's doing really good work, both as a student at YSU, but also in the student-led movement to save our faculty. You know, she's a big fan and student of Dr. Jacob LeBenz, who the university is cutting. And she's been a leader in, you know, trying to drum up support and circulate a petition to save his position. So yeah, she'll be in that class next semester. And here's what we did this first semester. So the Mackey map, we started off with this, we call it the red map because this is actually the negative of it, but the actual copy that the Steel Museum, the Youngstown Historical Center of Industry Labor, the copy they have is red. But that's because I think it was a lithograph. I think that would be the type of print it was. So it was a negative of that that they would make copies of. So here it is actually how it's meant to be seen. But it was an 1899 map that was made when Brown Bunnell was sold to Republic. Let's see if this works. For Republic Steel. And so originally down by where the Covelli Center is, There were two iron furnaces, the Phoenix and the Falcon, that produced iron in the early days, and they were built there. And this, you'll see, it connects to my project too, kind of. They were built there specifically because this is where the canal went through in Youngstown. So these, once again, here's all my map layers jumbled together. But if we click the layers, we can start picking them apart. I have it divided between pre-industrial and, all right, let's start hiding these. Start at the beginning. So in doing research for this class and project, I read George Higley's book, An Intimate History of Youngstown. And that was the first place I'd ever seen it mentioned before, that the reason why John Young picked this area, you know, he bought this tract of land for Youngstown, but the reason why downtown is where it is because previously, probably about 20 years previous, the land had been burned by Native Americans for what he says is crop corn agriculture. So burned the land to grow corn there. Also, you know, land burning practices were used to help cultivate like small game and whatnot. So there's a couple benefits to actually doing controlled burnings like that. Here we go, pre-industrial. Okay. So in Higley's book, he talks about that up to where the center of town, so here we are right here, right? Where are we? There we are. As we speak, we're right there. So the land all the way up to where the center of town is, there's our square there and our Civil War monument there, that allegedly all that land up there had been previously burned by Native Americans for crop, for corn production. So that, and so the area we're talking about here is between, there was a spring here. Now you can't really see it anymore, but this, the monument, the spring's right here underneath the Mahoning Avenue Bridge, the Peanut Bridge, Peanut Man Bridge. And if you go down underneath there, you can see just a little concrete a drain pipe that goes into the Mahoning there, but that was actually where a spring was. And the, if you look up here, right across from the bus station, there's the monument to the founding of Youngstown where Daniel Sheehy and John Young and, Hillman all came together. And that was the site, is at that spring. And then on the eastern boundary, there's Crab Creek. So here, right here, there's, the new Penguin Brewery that they're working on there. There's Crab Creek. So we're talking about the land between there, more specifically between Market Street and Crab Creek. So there's the Covelli Center there. So let's now hide the pre-industrial layer. And we're going to talk about the early years. So once again, there's the Mackey map that talked about the parcels of land that were being sold from Brown Bunnell to Republic. But also, this is in 1899, so for the same year, the Sanborn map, which Sanborns were insurance maps that did a great job detailing where everything's were. And so we, based on that map, it showed the different buildings that composed Brown Bunnell. So I made polygons of that, and this next semester we're going to keep evolving those, and we'll be able to show a better process of what the each of these buildings were used for in iron production. But also, it wasn't just industry down there. Here along Front Street, and there's Timlin Plumbing currently there on the corner there. Shout out to them. They do great work and great people. But here on Front Street, and then there was a street called Emily Alley right behind there. And so my classmates, we went through the city directories and the census records and learned a little bit more about the residents who lived there. And then I geolocated the points from the addresses on the map there. So if we click there, we see one of the residences. Might not let me scroll the top there. Oh, there we go. There's where Suhara Maseko is currently. Let's see if we can click a point. It's a little tough with the setup. There we go. There is the residence of Seidner. I think it's Joseph Seidner, has a spouse. So this is a lot of census data there. So we learn a lot about the residents who lived down there. But then around like 1916, a lot of the residences were torn down, and this became more industrial as Republic expanded. So then let's move on to when Republic took over. And this also, this is also out of the Youngstown Historical Center of Industry and Labor Archives, is, where is it? It's a map specifically of Republic down here. You can see my outlines there. The actual map that we scanned in doesn't seem to be loading for some reason. There it is there. Huh. Well, we'll have to play around with that more. But if you go on, what you should see is there's a scanned in georeferenced map there. And that's where I based those outlines off of the Bessemer process. So they tore down the old iron furnaces, and they did Bessemer steel converting. So they actually tore down those blast furnaces, and then the ones up here, they built new blast furnaces up near the Center Street Bridge. This is going out towards Struthers. There's the Center Street Bridge. This whole area here was all Republic steel, and they built new blast furnaces up there. And they would just put it on rail, take you down the line to downtown here. And then that's where they would use the Bessemer process to convert into steel. The two main processes of converting iron to steel were the Bessemer process and the open hearth. So they had an open hearth up there in Hazleton by the Center Street Bridge. And this was the Bessemer process down here. So once again, I outlined the different structures as part of that. And then this semester, we're hopefully going to get really into the actual process of making steel. And we'll be able to show, like, here comes the iron ingot down here, and they would run it through the Bessemer converters. You got soaking pits and all that, converted to steel. And then there was different bar mills, which if we go back, I'll click back here in a second, but we actually have a picture of when they were building the 10-inch bar mill down here. And it's cool, right where like the Covelli Center is, was a spike factory. They'd build like spikes for the railroads and whatnot. See if we can find that picture in there. There it is. Yeah, there's the building of the 10-inch bar mill that was down there. And this is right along the Mahoning, right down near where the Covelli Center is now. So that was that project. That's a lot of fun. We'll be working on that more next semester. And then finally, we have the early architecture of the Western Reserve and nearby places. And what a class that was. You know, we got to go to various little towns and houses in the country all around here. And so if you go through our story map and the map, you'll see each of the different spots we went to and week by week. But the instructors, Dr. Leary and Chris Klingmeier, which that Chris Klingmeier, he's like a MacGyver of old houses. And it was really just something to witness it all and get to learn from him. Like I said, I was the videographer for the class and all the content's on here, but you could really make it into a TV show. So we do a week by week plotting of the course. So just so you can see up here on the map, here's the different townships. So for instance, let's just click on, let's click on Mesopotamia here. And then here's the video from Mesopotamia. But it was cool, like when we were in Mesopotamia, here we go, these random, we were just walking by and we noticed, like, this is an old house, and the people were nice enough to, here we're coming up to it, the people were nice enough to welcome us in, and I felt a little awkward with my camera and everything, but I continued recording, and they showed us all around. So here we are just looking at the house, and then this poor woman was on her way out, had her car still running, and she said, well, if y'all want to come in and take a look. So here we went in, checked it out. The attic was really cool. Here we are in the basement. Basements are a big thing when inspecting old houses, because you can see if it's a really old house, you'll see some of the the timbers, the floor supports are actually only leveled on the one side, and they'll look like logs down there, because before there were powered sawmills, no sense cutting all the sides, you know, if you have to do it by hand. So they would just cut off the one side to make it flat for the floorboard. So yeah, I'm really proud with the work Brooke and I did. Yeah, Brooke was my classmate in this class, and she did an awesome job on the website. So yeah, if you look at the website there that it's linked to, the website aspect was mainly Brooke, and I mainly worked on the video and the map portion. But she was a really great classmate, and like I said, it really is an honor to work with her, and she's doing great work up there. There you could see one of those old, how they would just, they would leave, essentially looks like a tree, you know, they would just level off the one side there. So that's, all this is visible to anyone who wants to check it out. Oh, this is a great scene, too, going through the cemetery. It's funny, like, if you end up watching all the footage, you know, kind of, a lot of it feels like a Fellini film or something, and we have our like cast of characters that go through. Brooke and I were the students, and then we had a couple other old homeowners that would attend the class with us. So we really had a great time, and I really think that the content's important too, showing how much history. One of the things that Chris Klingmeier, the instructor, one of the things he says is that, you know, when you're driving around the area, you're driving through a history book. It's just most people don't know how to read it. You know, you may see a house that, you know, it may look kind of old, but you don't, you know, unless you actually know what you're looking for and like the different styles, the federal style, Greek revival and all that. You know, it's, so that's why I think this class was beneficial to me. And what's cool is now we can share it with everybody that we videoed it. So yeah, you could click through and get the same instruction we got. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. So once again, that story map, goes through week by week, class by class, and also structure by structure, that all the different places we visited. You can see Austintown Log House. And you can just click on it and watch the video specifically from that segment. So even though there's over 40 hours of unique video on there, and then when you break it all down, it actually ends up being all the video I upload is like probably close to 200 hours. You don't have to sit through it all in one sitting. You can just click on a house and watch that randomly. So it was a lot of fun. And I think it's really interesting doing the map stuff and thinking about video editing this way. I'm sure there's plenty of other people doing this, but I haven't seen too much about thinking about video geospatially and editing video geospatially and, you know, where things are rather than necessarily by time structure or something like that. So yeah, it was fun.
Interesting. Very yeah. Cool.
Thanks.
And how long did you work on that project?
All semester, but of course, you know, being a procrastinator, it was around the clock that final week before finals week.
Okay.
And that was like, kind of burnt myself out doing that, because so much of it was just the processing too. And you know how it is with video and all that. So yeah, three computers going, and thank you for letting me borrow one too, because that saved my butt with that. So I had three computers going, one's processing video, one I'm doing the map on, one, you know, but yeah, got it all done. I'm really happy with how it turned out, and I'm looking forward to next semester where we continue to evolve those two projects.
Great job, man. Love it.
Thanks, Joe. So yeah, well, hopefully we have a good year of shows and we get some more guests going and stuff. And, we'll be bringing that Mahoning Movement, project to culmination in May, but I'm working on some things to hopefully keep it going after I graduate from ISU too.
All right. Awesome. See you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. See you later.